friend of mine was a hearing specialist at Annenbrooks for several years, and he met regularly with people whose hearing was impaired. One man he met told him at a consultation that there was one good thing about being hearing impaired, having to wear a hearing aid. Intrigued, he asked what it was, because it had never happened before. And he said, well, there are times when I just don't want to listen to people. And when that happens, I can turn them down. Or if I want, turn them off. That's nice sometimes. Now, the passage we come to in Luke is about hearing or listening to God's word. And the striking message is that it's not just possible, but it's more than likely that the majority of people hearing God's word either turn down their spiritual hearing or turn it off altogether. They do not hear the good news that is being held out to them. Most of us will be familiar with a person who's engrossed in a television program or a good book or a hobby magazine who's managed to tune out absolutely everything else. No loud knocking at the door, screaming from the bathroom or cries of help from the kitchen will get through. They can hear, but they've tuned out. They just aren't listening. There's more than a few of us who can be introduced to someone but very promptly completely forget the name you've just heard. Familiar with that? And there's also the well-meaning person who hears and has every intention of acting on what they've heard, but things just crowd out the memory and the commitment's forgotten. Now, if those pen pictures don't ring any bells about being bad at hearing, then Jesus' own parable, his own story, will, I hope, get through. He's out proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, verse 1. Crowds upon crowds have come to hear him, verse 4. So he's got a rapt audience straining to hear what he's got to say. And he told them a story. One of the most well-known stories in the Bible, Luke calls it a parable. A story that's not meant to be taken literally, but does explain what's going on in the world, if only we'll listen. He starts, verse 5. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And then he describes those four very familiar types of soil. The seed fell on the path, and on the rocks, and on the weedy ground, and on good soil. And he describes the four end results. And at the end of verse 8, he finishes with a compelling call. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Now my son occasionally asks me, Dad, where are my shoes? Or where's my tennis racket? And I'll look around and I'll see it right in front of him. And I'll say, haven't you got eyes? Look! Or he'll say to me, Dad, what did you say? I'm slightly tired because it's the fourth time I've had to say it. I'll say, you've got those things sticking out the side of your head. Use them. And there's an element of that tone here. And it's a repeated theme. It comes up in verse 18. What's the punchline there? Consider carefully how you listen. And in verse 21, same theme. Jesus said, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. So how is your hearing? There's a very real sense that in reading these episodes and grappling with them, we are taking a hearing test right now. A spiritual one. And although this test can tell you what your spiritual healing is like, it will do more than that if we listen rightly. It can actually open deaf ears. There'll be people here today who've been deaf to spiritual things, miles away from God's family, even up till now. It may not have looked like that. There'll be fine, upstanding members of the community. Regular churchgoers, perhaps. Moral people trying hard to live a good life. But still miles away from Jesus. A good number like that will sadly leave unchanged, deaf to the message. Or they'll have heard it, but managed to persuade themselves that actually, no, this doesn't refer to me. It refers to someone else. Now that's one sad note in Jesus' story, as we'll see. But there may be some, a few perhaps, who by the end of this hearing test will have heard God's word. And it won't just have described their hearing, it'll have opened their ears, given them the key to the kingdom of God. That is an extraordinary prospect, so I hope you're listening. This is vintage Jesus. It's fantastic. Wonderfully, his disciples heard him tell the parable and then said, what does it mean? Which is a great start if we haven't understood what Jesus is saying. When they're not getting it, they don't drop it. They go up close and they ask him to explain it. The best illustration I've got of that is those sliding doors that automatically detect when you get right up close. You approach a building and they detect you. And the way they work is that you need to be close enough to them before they're open. Not too close too fast, otherwise you bang your nose, which I have done more than once. But it's no good standing back and waiting for them to open. They will stay closed. And it's like that with Jesus. The ones for whom the doors open are the ones who dare to get in close enough. Now the disciples get in close, they say, well, what have you been saying? And he explains. Others hear the story and leave it at that. Nice story, I've heard it hundreds of times before, but pretty irrelevant to me, and I'm going to go back to my DIY, to my family, to my career, to my hobby. They leave none the wiser. And that's what Jesus is getting at in verse 10. I don't know if you saw that. He's explaining about the way things are in the world. There are two types of people. Those that get in close and those that hang back. And who's who is revealed by how they respond to the word of God. How they listen to Jesus. In fact, there's an echo of the way things have been happening in the past. He's quoting a prophet from 700 years before him, the prophet Isaiah. When he says, those seeing, people don't see. Though hearing, they don't understand. And it's tragic. But the truth is that there are people like this in most church congregations the world over. Deaf to his words. Now this is the meaning of the parable, says Jesus in verse 11. The seed's the word of God. The farmer sows it far and wide. There's no problem with the seed, you'll notice. It's not different seed. It's the same seed in each instance. The same message. Different people can have the same good news explained to them and the results will be dramatically different. It's the type of soil which it falls on that varies. And there are the four soils, the hard path, the shallow rocky soil, the soil full of weeds and the good soil. They describe four different types of people. Actually, more specifically, they describe how people listen. And we're going to go through them, and I'd love some help from the floor. Not rhetorical questions, I'd love you to chip in. What sort of hearing is verse 12 describing? I'll read it. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. So the word goes out, but it's not heard. How come? The devil comes in and snatches the word away the moment it's out. How would you sum up that sort of hearing? Shout them out. Forgetting the moment you've heard it, yeah? Others? In one ear and out the other kind of hearing.
Minds on other things.
Minds on other things hearing. Yeah, those are all good, aren't they? Selective hearing, I liked. But what about that stuff that you get on pans these days? Teflon. Teflon non-stick hearing. There is a force of evil at work here. It's striking to think that any time a person has a Bible open and is reading it, the devil will be hard at work, seeking to dull the hearing somehow. He's going to be encouraging pride. Oh, I know all this. Prejudice. Oh, they would say that, wouldn't they? Preoccupation. Wonder when he's going to finish. What are we having for dinner this evening? Anything to prevent the word sinking in. And you may know the truth of it. You've explained something in the gospel to someone and it just doesn't seem to penetrate. It gets picked off clean. Never makes it to the heart. Now, why such a fight from the devil? Because the danger, as far as he's concerned, is that the word of God might actually get heard. Verse 12, did you see it? They might believe and be saved. That's the response Jesus is looking for to his word. Belief and rescue. Belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and rescue from God's righteous anger at our sin. Now before we stop there and think it concerns only people who aren't Christians yet, it actually concerns Christians as well, this, doesn't it? Selective hearing. Aren't there truths very clearly proclaimed in Scripture that we prefer to ignore? The call for a change to the way we live in a particular area, and we find ourselves thinking, I could do with a bit of selective hearing on that issue. We prefer to ignore God's word and make up our own rules. That's non-stick hearing. That's the seed on the path. If you've got ears, are you listening? What about the seed on the rock, verse 13? Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. What title would you give that sort of hearing?
Fair weather hearing.
Fair weather hearing. It's nice and sunny, you're happy to go out. The minute it starts raining, you're back in again. Yeah? fair weather hearing. Anyone else?
Superficial
hearing. Shallow hearing. Weak hearing. The sort of hearing that looks genuine for a week or a month or a year or two, but after a time it's just proved empty. Perhaps you've seen someone respond to the gospel. Burst of faith. They're at church every weekend. They're excited about reading the Bible, but the time of testing comes along and they fall away. Perhaps the person heard the gospel at a stable time in life. They had a couple of babies baptized. They're regular at church. But then the job got a bit harder. The relationships got a bit trickier. They had to move house. And they fell away. And being a Christian just added to the load. Mockery in the staff room, sneering relatives. Combined effects like a cold bucket of water just thrown on the person's profession of faith. So they throw in the towel. And later they'd probably say, well, it turned out to just have been a phase I went through. Didn't really work for me. A friend of mine spent time in the Congo preaching last summer, and in speaking to some local pastors and from his own observations, this is precisely how the people of the Congo hear. Lots of initial enthusiasm, eagerness, keenness, followed by an awful dropout rate. A faith that has gone cold. Shallow hearing. What's the lesson? Well, the enthusiasm for the moment is clearly not the issue, is it? God does sometimes grant immediate joy to people who come to Christ. But that's not the sure sign of good hearing. The sure sign is the months and years down the track when somebody is faithfully keeping on. Holding on, sticking to the truth, growing in their love for Christ, whatever the pressures. Have you got ears? Are you listening? Verse 14, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. So what sort of hearing is that? Garbled hearing? Muffled hearing? Anyone else? A bit harder to describe in an adjective.
Middle-aged spread.
Yeah.
Recycled teenager. Never got up.
Never grew up. Never matured. Distracted. What about choked hearing? Yeah. This is the sort of hearing where a person responds to the gospel initially, but then along comes a truckload of worries, all riches and pleasures, and the seed is throttled to death. Perhaps there's a pressing worry. A family member's ill, a job under threat, or a house move has come along. Or at the end of the scale, perhaps a financial windfall has come your way and has led to frantic new plans to extend or change schools. Or perhaps there's a leisure activity that's taken the place of a functional God. It takes up all your time. And there's nothing left for Christ. Golf is a well-known culprit for that. But other passions might fit the bill. Whatever pleasure it is that is choking the life out of your relationship with Christ. Now, he's not saying that you should never have worries or never have fun, but to watch very carefully how those things are inclined to choke our ability to hear God's word. I know folk who've been investigating the Christian claims seriously some years ago, but now they'll say that life just overtook them. Now, that's not wrong in themselves, the mortgage or the garden or the grandchildren or the holidays, but they all have the capacity to become spiritual bindweed. Choke the plant, stuff the ears and drain the life. It's not that at any point a person decides one day to stop following Christ. Instead, it can be a very gradual thing. And that's what makes this sort of hearing the worst in the book. More and more attention is given to the stuff of life and less to attending to Christ until they do wake up one morning and realize they just stopped listening. Beware of the cares of the world, says Bishop J.C. Ryle. It's not just open sin that ruins souls. It's the pressures of everything else. I think this is British hearing, actually. It can be the stuff of life is just crowding in, and what needs to happen in some application of the equivalent of gardener's Roundup. And that stuff, probably not very environmentally friendly, but very good at getting rid of weeds. If you've got ears, are you listening? Verse 15, the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Now here's a heart with integrity. Here's a person who listens to the word, really listens, perseveres, and bears fruit. What's the description, the adjective for this kind of hearing then? Sing it out. Fruitful hearing. Obedient hearing. Yeah. Healthy, good, clear, authentic hearing. They hear, remember, hold on, and keep on believing, and the result is a crop. Not immediate. Remember, seeds take time to germinate. It's rare that a person hears the word of God once and responds immediately. The seeds need to take root, put up shoots, grow up to maturity. This is the seed that grows as it was intended to. This is the hearer who responds as God means them to. A change is effected in someone and fruit is produced. And it's clear that I think this is how we all like to imagine we hear, isn't it? We are the good soil, aren't we? But the shocking fact about this parable is that it's only one of four different types of soil that is good. His parable says that it'll be normal to see many with non-stick, shallow, or choked hearing. It will not surprise us that people can sit and listen to a talk from the Bible, to hear the gospel presented to them, and to walk away with it having no effect on them at all. Jesus said that would happen, and it's a tragic thought. But in amongst the deaf will be those who hear authentically and do respond. What will that look like? Well, won't it mean that we won't stop doing other things, but it'll mean that everything we do will begin to be shaped by hearing God's word. Of course, our lives will be reset with God's word at the center. His word is to guard our heart as we evaluate our ambitions, think about our careers, consider marriage, spend money. God's word will teach us to say no to temptation and to offer ourselves in his service. That's authentic hearing. That's genuine hearing. God's word at the center. Now, Jesus' parable, heard afresh, 2,000 years since it was first spoken, speaks pretty directly to us. How are we hearing, is what it asks. In one ear and out the other? Are we careful to never let a Bible talk or a conversation with a Christian penetrate much deeper than the topsoil? Are we those who have no root, so caught up in the other things of life that we don't have time? How's our hearing? Which soil will we be? And perhaps he looks around at his disciples and sees a fair number of pretty blank faces still. So quick as a flash, he's back into storytelling mode. This time it's not seed and fruitfulness, it's light and illumination. Verse 16, he says, now come on, look, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who can come in see the light. What he's saying is, the seed on the path, or rocky or weedy ground, is about as much use as light under a bucket. It's not having the effect it's meant to. Put the light up on a stand where it can be seen, and it'll serve the purpose it was made for. Hear the word of God rightly and respond the way you were made to. The truth Jesus came to bring wasn't meant to be hidden, but disclosed, and everybody who comes to him will receive it. There's a sobering point he makes right at the end here. Excuses will not wash, he says. There is nothing hidden, verse 17, that won't be disclosed, and nothing concealed that won't be known or brought out into the open. One day there will not be another chance to say, what? To Jesus? Everything will be disclosed on that day. And here's his point again, consider carefully how you listen. Give some thought as to how you're letting the word of God affect you this afternoon, because believing and responding to God's word is the only way into the kingdom. The stakes could hardly be higher. Verse 18, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Which is to say this, whoever listens and responds to Jesus by getting close and asking him what he means, praying for understanding, will be given more. But those who hear and then step back, keeping their distance from Jesus, the doors will never open, and they'll lose even what they think they had. With God's word, it's either use it or lose it. And then that last bit, Jesus' mother and brothers arriving in verse 19 to 21, it's there to encourage, isn't it? He says, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. You can count yourself immensely privileged. Welcome into my family if you hear and obey what I say. That's the good soil. Genuine, clear hearing. And wonderfully, there's no bar. Doesn't matter where a person comes from. No credentials are needed. A person's age or sex or race or profession is no limitation. Whoever has ears, that's all of us, isn't it? Let him hear. He came to save all who'd respond. No matter how long a response has been delayed, no matter what skeletons there are in the closet, no matter how much pretense we put up till now, how awkward that response might feel, the door is still open. If you've ears to hear and are listening, then consider carefully how you listen. Let him hear, verse 8. Hear God's word and put it into practice. And the end of verse 12, believe on Jesus and be forgiven. Just an application for Christians. Wouldn't it be great to ask one another, how are we hearing? How did you do with your Bible reading this week? What did you learn? What difference has it made? It helps us to be realistic, this passage as well, doesn't it? Just saying, in our evangelism, we will cast out the seed. We will share it with people, and it'll bounce off, or it won't sink in, or it won't be heard. And we're not to be discouraged by that. Jesus said it would be the case 2,000 years ago. But we're to carry on sowing. The seed will find good soil. Keep sowing God's word.